Okay, good afternoon. I'm going to be following up on an acid rain theme. In this case, my presentation is going to deal with effects of acidic deposition and beech bark disease on Adirondack forests in the northeastern United States. These are problems, both problems that these forests have had to deal with for a number of decades. There's been a fair amount of acid rain research, particularly in terms of how calcium depletion, soil calcium depletion, has affected individual tree species. But that research hasn't been related to beech bark disease, which is also very common. Sugar maple and beech trees coexist in our northeastern hardwood forests in many places. The analysis that I'm presenting grew out of a former project, one of those projects that looked at acid rain effects on a single tree species, in this case, sugar maple. The project was done in 2009. I just want to give you one quick sample of the results. In this case, I'm showing you the fraction of sugar maple seedlings at our study plots in the Adirondack region, plotted versus the base saturation in the upper B horizon. You can see below a base saturation of about 12, very few sugar maple seedlings, almost none. And then you get between 12 and 20% base saturation, a transition, a big increase, and then things level out. Essentially, this looks like some type of perhaps a threshold response, and I'll be revisiting that theme here shortly. But for those of you not familiar with beech bark disease, I'm not going to go into all the details, but an American beech tree should have a smooth gray bark. This is what the disease does to the bark. It will eventually kill the tree, but often that doesn't happen until the tree has had an opportunity to grow well into the canopy. And the disease itself seems to spur a very aggressive regeneration strategy by beech. You can't see it in this slide because the leaves are off, but it creates this sort of situation through root sprouting and seedlings. You get these beech thickets that are result in these extremely dense understories that obviously can have some implications for regeneration of different species as well as beech itself. In my talk today, I just want to address three primary study questions, fairly basic. Is tree species composition related to soil base status? Do interactions between acidic deposition and beech bark disease affect species composition and stand structure? And last, and this actually relates very nicely to the talk you just heard, where soils are recovering from acidic deposition, but beech bark disease is ongoing, is sugar maple benefiting? In other words, better soils, beech, a competitor still struggling, is sugar maple perhaps making a bit of a comeback? So before I start showing you the tree data, I just want to talk a little bit about how acid rain affects soils. In doing that, I'm actually going to show you a graph of stream chemistry. This is inorganic aluminum chemistry in about 200 Adirondack streams, and this is an index called the base cation surplus. It's actually quite similar to acid neutralizing capacity, but it relates more directly to aluminum concentrations in surface water, and in doing so, actually relates to aluminum mobilization. You could see above this value of zero for this BCS index, you really don't get aluminum mobilization, and then when it drops below zero, you get this strong linear increase. This has direct relevance to what's going on in the forest because this aluminum mobilization happens in the soil. It moves into surface waters, causing all sorts of havoc in the aquatic ecosystem, but its mobilization within the soils causes problems to the forest itself. What we're interested in is, can we use this nice relationship that we see in the surface waters, being able to identify aluminum mobilization with our surface water chemistry, can we relate that to something we're measuring in the soils? We were able to do that. Things in soils are never quite as neat, but in this case, we were able to plot base saturation. This is upper B horizon versus the BCS value in streams. We had about 26, 27 watersheds where we had very good spatial characterization of the soils as well as good water chemistry, and put this together, and we get this relationship. We explain over half the variability, and interestingly enough, at a BCS of zero, this is where that aluminum mobilization threshold occurs, we end up with a base saturation of about 16%. And if you go back to some pretty early work by Royce, I did some laboratory experiments looking at calcium-aluminum exchange interactions and found that in the base saturation range of between 15 and 20%, you do get this shift from calcium controlling exchange chemistry into this area where aluminum becomes dominant, and that's where you get this aluminum mobilization. So what we're seeing with this field data is well supported by his experimental work from quite some time ago. Okay, now getting into the data, lots of numbers here. You don't have to look closely except for perhaps in this first column. This is the base saturation values of 20 watersheds that we studied, and going from a big range from 4.4 down to 67% base saturation. Again, it's the upper B horizon. That's what I'm going to be talking about throughout the talk. And I've got the color scheme here based on the aluminum mobilization below a base saturation of well below 16. We have yellow, and at or around a base saturation of 16, we say this is more or less at the threshold, and then above that, we have soils that are well enough buffered so they're not experiencing aluminum mobilization. Looking across the top, these are abbreviations for tree species, sugar maple, American beech. You can see they were, just by seeing lots of numbers, they're very abundant in all our watersheds. Also, yellow birch throughout the range of base saturation, and red spruce, not as common, but again, spread through. So these five species don't seem to, their occurrence doesn't seem to be obviously related to the base saturation itself. But the story is a little more complicated than that. And as we move down, looking at red maple and black cherry, you see the numbers appear in the yellow and then also in this transition zone, but none down here in the well-buffered soils. So we also have three tree species where we have the opposite. White ash, basswood, and hop hornbeam, and these don't occur in the yellow zone at all, with the one exception, one watershed where we have some white ash, but they do occur down here. So we have some species that seem to relate very well to this base saturation scheme, and others that don't seem to pay too close attention. Now we did an NMS ordination to compare the sugar maple and American beech. And in this case, here's the base saturation vector going in this direction, increasing in both cases. And the size of the spheres or the circles are indicating increasing predominance of sugar maple based on a proportion of total basal area in each watershed. And as you can see, as increasing base saturation, you get more of a predominance of sugar maple and pretty much the inverse relationship with American beech. Now if we look at the crown position rating for both beech in yellow, sugar maple in green, and then also included red maple here in the just the open circles, I need to point out that crown position rating actually is a little complicated because it's an inverse. The higher the crown position rating, the lower the average position in the canopy. So what this means is the yellow birch occupying lower positions in the canopy in all of these watersheds. Each circle is an average watershed value. The beech is not getting up as high as the sugar maple. This vertical line here actually represents that threshold for aluminum mobilization, the base saturation value, and you could see that below that threshold, it's actually the red maple that seems to have the highest average crown position. Sugar maple, intermediate, sugar maple does not change with base saturation, but it might be a little hard to tell, but we have a more or less significant decrease in crown position rating for beech as the base saturation goes up. So the average canopy position of the beech actually goes down as the soil conditions improve. I want to talk a little bit about seedlings. I have other data that I'm not going to have time to present, but this is a similar sort of plot. Base saturation on the x-axis. Here's that threshold value in gray. And this is just seedling density, seedlings per square meter, sugar maple, beech and red maple. And you can see, similar to what I showed from that earlier study, that was just a relative proportion, but these are the real numbers. Very few sugar maple seedlings, almost none. Below the threshold, above the threshold, we get a much larger number of sugar maple seedlings, kind of like this carpet. You can't tell, but those are all sugar maple seedlings. American beech, really no relationship at all to base saturation. And again, I'm not showing all the data. We have some other measurements. More or less, in terms of base saturation, the beech was rather neutral to it. They just didn't seem to, the various measurements didn't seem to correlate one way or another to the base saturation. Red maple, opposite of sugar maple, not surprising perhaps, we didn't have any red maple in the canopy above the threshold, and we saw almost no red maple seedlings above the threshold. However, below the threshold, red maple seemed to be putting out quite a few seedlings. Now, this is where we relate to the talk we just heard. This is the acidic deposition trend for a NADP site in the central Adirondacks, yellow in sulfur, and you can see going back to 1980, this is the full length of record at this station. Steady, you know, ups and downs, but overall a very, very steady decline, and you can see how much lower acidic deposition, this is wet deposition, is compared to where it was in 1980. Nitrogen, not as clear a pattern, and up to 2000 the trend was not statistically significant, but since then it has become pretty clear a significant decrease in nitrogen. So improving in terms of acidic deposition levels, particularly since 2000. And we do have soil data that we have been able to link to that. This is just one example. The calcium is in black and gray. The earlier sampling, 1998, more recent, 2014. This is the OE horizon. We did get a big increase in exchangeable calcium in the OE relative to the earlier sampling. In the OA, no statistical difference, but actually for this region, that's not such a bad thing either, because there were a number of several other studies looking at an earlier window, and in nearly all those cases, the calcium actually went down. So it's at least not going down, and the similar situation down here in the B, but very little. Quickly looking at the aluminum. The red 98, the pink in 2014, and here's where we really get some strong differences. A big drop in exchangeable aluminum in the OE horizon, same thing in the OA horizon, and interestingly, we actually have an increase in the B horizon, and at this point, we're attributing that actually to part of the recovery process as well. The aluminum that's coming out of these upper horizons probably needs to go somewhere. There's a lot less strong acid activity in the B horizon, so perhaps the aluminum is becoming demobilized in the lower soil. But in any event, soil conditions due to the less aluminum around and either stable or increasing calcium are improving. And I just want to show one quick summary graph of the responses. We don't have a real long record, but here is information on sugar maple, beech, and birch. Four measurements going over 15 years. This is average DBH, and you can see over those four measurements, we've got a progressive increase in yellow birch, also a very progressive increase in sugar maple, no real change in beech. So basically, beech are not getting bigger, but the sugar maple and the birch are. This is basal area now, meter squared per hectare, and same thing for the beech and sugar maple going up, but you can see this is a beech-dominated plot, but increase in basal area, but then it levels off, and again, the DBH didn't change. The suggestion that perhaps beech is not doing so well while sugar maple and yellow birch are doing better. So just to conclude, Going back to these primary study questions I introduced, is tree species composition related to soil base status? Yes. Some species absent from the low base, others absent from the high base. So clearly the base soil base status is affecting the species composition. Do interactions between acid rain and beech bark disease affect species composition and structure? I think we could also say fairly confidently yes. They're, without getting into too much detail, higher gap formation in the low base soils seems to have led to red maple and cherry, whereas in the high base soil, sugar maple is able to continue to dominate and keep those opportunistic species out. And then just lastly, are the recovering soils as a result, is sugar maple benefiting? And with that, I'm just going to say a definite maybe, because the regeneration is still uncertain. I better stop.